this is awesome, CJ. If you don't know us, I'm Ryan Spielborgs, former major leaguer. I've been broadcasting for a bunch of years on various networks, on AT&T Sportsnet, MLB Network Radio. Ooh,
big time.
Super big time. Super duper big time. On the flip side, you got CJ. It's actually like this. CJ Kowski over here.
I think you got it wrong.
What do you mean?
You're I think it's your left hand.
Oh, it's this way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for you, it looks like that. But yep. For me, it looks like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
See, this is the beauty of what we're going to do. So here's how this show concept started. We're calling this One Man's Trash. And the reason why is because we're all in this kind of quarantine pandemic together, there's been a lot of good that's happened. One of these things that's happened, the silver lining, is that my wife and CJ's wife, Megan, has laid down an ultimatum to clean out the basement. And because of that, we decided to go into our basement and we found some really cool stuff. CJ, how many years of baseball experience do we have between us?
So I think about 31 years. I was able to steal 19 over my time, not 19 years in the big leagues, just parts of 10 in the major leagues, but a lot of bouncing around all over the world. And it was 19 seasons. I put on a uniform in 94 and they kicked it off me or ripped it off me and wouldn't let me have another one after January of 2013. I don't count 2013 as a season, but 2012 was the last season. So, of course, you got to count that zero. So, yeah, 19 different years. Yeah, it's being left-handed. It's being a reliever. It's being able to spin the ball a little
bit. Left-handed with the pulse, you can play
yeah,
forever.
You know, first-round pick gives you a couple of extra opportunities as well. I used every single one of them. There are some guys that feel like they still had something left in the tank and maybe could have done a little more, you know, some more things had they gotten another opportunity. I'm not that guy. I can never use that excuse. I had every single opportunity and then some. So, yeah, I got to hang around for a little while. It was fun and collected a lot of stuff in the process. Our stories, though, are somewhat opposite. You're being told, get that basement clean, get your crap together. On the other end,
yeah.
My wife is actually, she's leading the charge in our basement. And it has been nonstop since we've kind of been in the house and trying to obey the rules. She's been down there every day. And I actually heard her yell earlier today, why is there so much crap in here? Like, and I was upstairs and I could
hear
her.
Yeah, we're going to help her.
But it was a lot of her stuff too, by the way. But we have. I've collected stuff throughout the years. Fun stuff, not just like, oh, who's the greatest player and this, that, and the other thing. And of course, with us playing over in Asia, some really cool things along the way. So we thought that we'd take some of those things, share those things with you guys, maybe give a couple of things away. Have some giveaway items that I think maybe a couple of shows in, we may make that opportunity available. But we figured what a great time to dig into our treasure chest of junk. That's not all junk, but a lot of it is.
No.
And share it with you.
Most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of this stuff is junk. And if you want to tweet us, you can. It's for me, it's at SpillyGoat19. For CJ, it's at CJ Nikowski. We're hopeful that over time, as we do more of these One Man's Trash, we'll get some other broadcasters, some other of the Major League brethren to share some of the stuff that they have. So I'm in the basement. I'll start this thing off.
We got
if you're looking at this jersey.
Nice.
This thing's sweet. Okay, so this is my Saitama Lions jersey. This is a bit of a throwback, CJ.
Yeah.
So if you remember playing in Japan, which mm-hmm. we did, there's a lot of throwback games. And this one, so I played for the Cebu Lions back in 2013, and I thought this one was really cool because it has like so many different things. Here's a baseball.
If you look fast, it looks like a Twins patch. If you go really fast, that looks like a cell phone company. But yeah,
and
that patch
Twins
on the right.
Or not.
No, yeah, the one on your left arm looks like it'd be a Twins patch if you just did it really fast.
You're right.
What is that? A circle of flowers? What's going on over there on your other arm?
Yeah, I think this was.
Are those lobster claws?
No, I think these were the cherry blossoms. That's what I'm going to guess.
Oh, okay.
For all I know, it could have been like a bread company.
Yeah.
You know, these jerseys always have advertisements on it. So for today's One Man's Trash.
Well, wait a minute. Real quick, I was actually also going to wear a throwback. We do throwbacks a couple of times a year. I'll wear one another time. But I have a Dye Hawks throwback jersey. It's heavy. It's authentic. It's legit. I don't even think I pitched in the game, but I ended up having that jersey. But I am wearing my 31-year-old 1989 high school jacket after the Don Bosco Ironman.
Spin around.
After the Ironman. Yeah, can you see that? Am I blocking it?
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
So, yeah, state champs, buddy.
Wait, state champs?
Believe it. State champs. That was my sophomore year in high school. And I pitched in the final game. We had to go three games to get there. And I pitched in the final one, a little CG with some long hair and weighed about 155 pounds at the time at Princeton University at the all-boys high school that I went to, Don Bosco. So we won the parochial A championship in New Jersey. So the jacket, I'm not going to tell you it still fits. It's very uncomfortable, but I'm going to wear it very for this slimming. Entire show. yeah. I almost feel like it makes me feel like I'm like kind of jacked a little bit. I don't know, but it is. It's stained. It's a mess. Number 19, I was a Ron Guidry like, but also Dave Righetti was 19 with the Yankees, so that's why I wore 19 throughout high school. And that's going to be my wear. I think for sure, like I have a locker in my office here right to my right that has a ton of jerseys in it. I'm looking at probably at least pushing 20 different jerseys. I got one from Little League, like probably when I was about 11 or 12 years old. I doubt I can get that one on. I'll try it. And then all the way to one of the last jerseys that I wore in the Dominican Republic in winter ball. So we'll have a lot of different fun costume changes maybe throughout the season.
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, it brings us opportunities to tell some great stories. I'll eventually in a future show, I will tell a story of how I got number 19. Why 19 is so important to me.
Not Dave Righetti.
Not Dave Righetti. I want to point one thing out about the Saitama jersey. So you can see it has three buttons on the top, and then I was trying to unbutton it more just in case I wanted to show my Gaucho shirt underneath. And let's see if we can see this. Can you see this?
Yeah.
These buttons are fake. They're attached.
What's the point?
I don't know.
So you can go halfway down. So it's, you know, I could see where a team would do that where they don't want their players unbuttoning the top button. So they do that, right? They make them permanent, but I don't get why the bottom ones. Like you're almost there to a button down jersey. Why not just take it all the way? Did they save money by doing that?
I don't know. Doesn't I don't
seem
know.
Like
what,
it seems like more
I don't
stitching.
Know what's happened. But I mean, like, when was the last time you saw a player go down all the way down here? Derek Dietrich? Yeah. Dietrich, maybe?
So, Ruben right. Sierra. For sure would Ruben be one. Sierra. Yeah.
Okay, so
where'd it go? Let's get into the treasure chest.
I got this box right next to me, and I thought it'd be really fun. So this one's all based on my Japanese stuff. So my last year in Japan, 2013, I remember because I played with Kaz Matsui. Mm-hmm. And Matsui's son, when he was one of the best base stealers I ever played with. But he would wear these base running gloves. Like these, and we thought they were so ridiculous because they look like oven mitts, right?
Well, they're huge. Yeah, they look like goalie gloves for soccer. Like when you're playing soccer with your kids, you should put those on and try to block their shots.
That's a great idea.
Are they as thick as they look?
Oh, these things are thicker than they look. I mean, they are padded on the sides, on the fingers, everywhere, padding, even on the backside, padding.
So what's the point there? So you don't get stepped on?
I think it's to protect your regular batting gloves and, you know, you
Oh, you can keep your regular batting gloves on?
Well, you take them off and put them in your back pocket because you don't want to get them dirty. And don't forget, CJ, most of those fields were all dirt unless you're playing on too. So, you know, it's a good way to keep them longer. And so these things were my stealing gloves. So
that'd be great. You know what those would be good for, too, is that MyMac that you do on the weekends in downtown Denver on the streets? You know, where you're doing your mime thing?
It's School of Mimes.
Yeah.
Mimes.
That'd be awesome.
Good chance that this thing is a giveaway.
Oh, really?
Good chance.
What size are those? And those are a medium?
It's one size fits all, CJ.
No chance. One size fits all.
That's what these are.
Hey, did you ever see those in the store at all when you were in Japan? Like, because equipment was really expensive over there.
I don't remember if they sold these things. These are like... You remember the Cooperstowns you used to wear back in the day? Like, mm-hmm. You couldn't get them unless you were a big leaguer?
Yeah.
This is the same thing. Really? You can't get these giant sliding gloves unless you play in the
big. So I saw batting gloves. I remember seeing, leather gloves. I remember being in, like, a sporting goods store. It might have even been, like, a Sports Authority in Japan. And the gloves were, like, anywhere from $300 to $500. Not the batting gloves, but your actual leather gloves, which I could not believe. And that was over a decade ago. I left Japan in 08. All right. My first item, you say, is it special? Of course it's special because it's in a sanitary sock. So this is a really fun item for me. You only put really special bats in sanitary socks. So what you're going to notice first with this bat is that, I'm going to do it this way for you, is that it's broken. I don't want you to cheat and see. All right. So it's broken. I broke this bat. I did not hit when I was at Don Bosco, even though I was helping him win a state championship. By the time I became a sophomore, I was a hitter only.
Is this when he killed somebody with that bat?
I did not kill anybody. So this bat was lent to me my rookie year, 1995. I got my first big league hit. I did not have any minor league hits. I was not a good hitter at all when I got there. But I got my first hit. I could bunt with this bat. But here's what makes this bat just a little bit extra special, buddy, because, no, it doesn't have my name on it. Yeah, that's right. That is
what?
That is a Deion Sanders bat. Deion Sanders, of course, was a member of...
Primetime
was a member of that Reds team, and so he let me use his bat. I wrote all over it, big and awkward like a knucklehead, as you can see here. First MLB hit.
Such a, back July 8th, 1995. Never forget it.
Maybe that's where I even hit the ball, that mark over there. But anyway, so here's the yeah, embarrassing part. So the cool thing was getting a hit, getting an RBI. Brett Boone was on second base. He scored. It was a 17-hopper up the middle on the old Riverfront turf. Against, see if you can guess who it was against.
Versus Ramon Martinez.
Yeah.
Who's Ramon Martinez?
I mean, I'm going to have to go over that with black paint or something. I was so excited to get this bat and write on it with this gold marker that I spelled Martinez wrong, which is a true embarrassment. This will never be a giveaway item. This is a special item for me. So even though I only had two hits in the big leagues, this was the first one that I had. I actually got a hit in my next at bat in a game in San Diego. I think I had my own bats by then. But anyway, yeah, Deion Sanders' first big league bat. I also had the ball. I no longer have the ball. And the reason I no longer have the ball is because when they retired my number at my high school in New Jersey and I went back for the ceremony, my old high school coach was there. And I gave him the baseball for my first hit. And thanked him for making a really good decision, which was I should no longer hit and touch a bat. I should only focus on pitching. Yeah, and I was funny, too. After I gave him the ball, I had a handful of buddies that came to the, you know, to the dinner, and they were super pissed I gave it to them. They were like, why'd you give it to him? Why wouldn't you give it to me? I've been a supporter of yours throughout your entire career, man. I want that baseball. I was like, no, can't have it. Already gone. So, yeah.
You can't second guess stuff like that. You can't second guess stuff like that.
How about I'll go for number two. So the first one was about me. The second one was about a Hall of Fame teammate that I had. And I've had a lot of Hall of Fame teammates in the years, Billy. But this one was fun. This guy, left-handed pitcher, second most strikeouts in Major League history. Absolutely nasty. Good dude. Fun dude. Different persona on the field than off, in between the lines. But I got to play with him for a couple of months in Houston when we traded for him in 1998. Randy Johnson drumstick. So Randy Johnson, I see it right there, the big unit.
Pro Bark unit
made him these drumsticks, and he gave me a set of them. He used to have a set of drums that he kept in Seattle when he was there, and we were talking. He said, you know, if I sign back here, I'll definitely make sure I put another cool drum kit in the ballpark, and it was the Astrodome at the time going into the 99 season. He signed somewhere else, and I got traded, so that never happened. But there were a handful of players, and I don't know if it happens anymore. Mike Piazza used to keep a drum kit in L.A. That I'd mess around with. You know, of course, you remember well. I was a drummer in a very famous band, Nemesis.
Yeah, Nemesis.
Yeah. And so
they put Gene Shorts on the map.
Exactly. So we, we drummers stick together a little bit. I didn't have anything good to get back to him, but I got these Randy Johnson custom-made ProMark drumsticks. So cool for me. Never been used. I don't know what all the brown crap is on. It almost looks like one of my kids.
Tar.
Well, or that one of my kids.
Do drummers use pine tar to keep the drums on their fingers?
Real ones might. I don't know. But it looks like my kids tried to mix the brownies with these or something. I'm not exactly sure what happened. But I've always thought these were really cool. I've never played with them, but I sure would love to. But anyway, yeah, always for me, one of the cool items that I had. Cool to see him go into the Hall of Fame. He absolutely dominated those 2 months that he was with us. And then it was a really cool playoff series. We lost to the Padres in that first round. But that game one, him against Kevin Brown, was a pretty cool one. He pitched great in both of his postseason games, did not win either one if memory serves. And we got bounced 3-1, and then the Padres got swept by the Yankees in the World Series. So that's that story.
I remember that one. That was college. I was in college when that thing happened. So you're talking about like stuff made for you going back to Japan. So all the stuff that I have is from Japan. I wish I had a Randy Johnson sticks, Tommy Topper. So what this is, no, it is not a catcher shin guard. This is actually a shin guard for yours truly. So they would make these shin guards, and it's kind of flashy, but let's see.
That's how you are. You're a flashy guy.
This thing goes off, and I never wore a shin guard here in the States, but in Japan they kind of gave you one, and so I used it. And this thing's all the way up to my thigh.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it looks like it could go on right on your thigh, put it on your quad. Now, is that B on there stands for what, Bonafide Superstar? Is that accurate?
No, this was Bellguard, which is made in Japan. So Bellguard is the company that makes these things. And, you know, you got to be kind of, to be honest, everybody. I used to think, you know, only certain players can have flash.
Yeah.
In Japan, like, to me, there's a rule of flash. It's mm-hmm. five. Eye black counts as one. Necklace is two. Uh-huh. If you want to do one of these, that's three.
Elbow.
Wristband tape, four. And then if you have a sleeve, that's five. That's plenty of flash.
So no earrings? If you have all those five, you can't have earrings.
No, seems
really high, dude.
Five's high. So yeah. That's what I'm saying. You go over five, now you're treading on territory where we're like,
Yeah.
Okay, show me, guy. But that's all right. So these things mm-hmm. you'll see on every single baseball player in Japan.
That looks like you can take a bullet, that thing. I mean, it looks super thick. Like if you needed, you know, I need a cast on my leg now for a little while. Some duct tape on the other side, you'd be good to go. Is it as thick as it looks?
Yeah, I just hurt myself.
Now, how many times, how many split fingers you get thrown and then end up just kind of fouling off and hitting the right spot?
You'll see a couple marks right over here. And the biggest thing, I don't know if it's coming across, but the biggest thing is it's really hard to run in these things.
It looks like it.
I ground out to short all the time, and you're running down to first base, and you're already cussing yourself, and you have this big, clunky catcher's shin guard on you. You're like,
it seems like you would run like a stormtrooper in that thing. Like you can't get full extension, right? They're kind of shorter, a little side to side. I got the jacket that kind of matches to some degree, so you
That's
can put it
all
together.
Stormtroopers always die.
That's a good point.
They're always dying. All right, I'm going to show
you real quick
one.
On the flash, real quick. So. When you were there, I felt like, so I was there before you were, I was done in 08. When I was there, I felt like guys who were doing some of the different color stuff, didn't match your uniform, weren't afraid to wear pink when there was absolutely no pink at all.
That's right.
We see it now in the States, right? I always go back to the UNSS for this and that big green sleeve that he wears, that you know, bright green, some of the necklaces and different things that you're starting to see. But I know when I was there, man, it stuck out like a sore thumb, like what those guys were doing, the style that they had, how many guys had their own logo. Was pretty unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Like none of that was going on in the States at the time for me. I guess I was there about 5 years earlier than you were. But were you amazed that you mentioned how everyone kind of gets some of that swag, but the depth of how far that went down the roster, and then how many guys had zero problem not matching team colors at all? That seemed like it was almost like if you match team colors, it was kind of lame.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wears too much flair down there. So my five in Japan is double. It's more like 10. But I'm really glad that we've gotten to the place, especially in Major League Baseball, where you can wear 10 things of flash and be okay. Like, I'm okay with it. Hopefully fans are okay with it. It's a good way to show off some personality. All right, I'm going to show you something that, you know, the differences in Japan, which was really cool. So in the States, I was a Nike guy. So I would get my gloves, and I was one of the first guys to wear Nike gloves versus like Wilson or Rawlings. I really liked my Nike glove. And so here's what my glove in the States looked like. This is my gamer. On all my gloves, I had Esperanza, which is my mom's name, printed on it. And I also have Esperanza printed on my, actually it's tattooed to my wrist. My mom passed away back in 2009. But these gloves are pretty sweet. This Nike one's pretty good. And when you go to Japan, you might still have a Nike contract, but it's with Japan Nike. And so here is the same glove. You can see Esperanza now in
unused.
This was, I just literally pulled it out of the bag from Japanese baseball, and it's pretty big.
It's gonna say, is it as heavy as it looks? I think it looks like it might weigh about 20 pounds. It looks like. Can you squeeze it or no? Right now,
can you go
pinky to thumb? What a workout!
I have it pinky to thumb. I always put two in the pinky, and
can't get there.
I can't get there.
So if you were playing catch right now with a kid, it'd be bouncing. How long would it take you to break something like that in?
Probably 2 years.
Is he 2 years of sitting around, or 2 years of actually being on a baseball team where you could play catch every day?
Probably 2 years, legitimately 2 years to probably break this thing. This is a 12 3/4 inch outfield glove.
So you got that glove in 13. You've had it for five. What year is this? You've had it for 7 years, right? Was it planned to keep it? Was it going to go in the Ryan Spielberg's museum? Was it going to go on the shelf? Like, what was the plan, the idea? Because I've given away so many gloves, and I bet you I still have five unused gloves. And I stopped playing a while ago. I haven't had a glove contract in forever. So these are pretty old. What was the plan of keeping it? Just hoarding it?
I think your wife mad? Yeah, I think I'm hoarding it just specifically to make Stacey upset. But nice. Number two, just in case, you know, a kid in the neighborhood needs an outfield glove, I'll be able to.
Well, how many gloves do you think you have currently? Like, well, within that are usable, like with all your stuff, you know, because I remember I would get a couple of year. One year when I was in Japan, Louisville still kind of honored my contract over there. And so they would send me to get like three gloves a year. And I was such a popular client with them that when I got my gloves, they were all right-handed, which was awesome. So they sent me three right-handed gloves, which...
How long did you have to wait for those gloves?
Oh, my gosh.
3 months?
Well, no, because spring training started so early. It wasn't bad. And so I called him up and he's like, oh, sorry about it. You know, and I had been with them pretty much my entire career. I only wore Louisville gloves. But here's why that worked out well for me. So they're like, we'll just send you three lefties. And I had him put Nico Chan on there, which was my Japanese nickname. But I had the same three gloves now as right-handed gloves. And so I could trade with some of my teammates. So one of the shows, I'll show you some of the gloves. I've traded a handful of gloves over my career, when I, you know, especially when I was in Asia with guys, whether it was trading one of those right-handed gloves that I had, which I really didn't have a use for. I kept one of them. But then also some of my newer left-handed gloves I traded with some teammates. And I have a couple of fun ones that I look forward to showing you guys. But, yeah, so that's the glove story. All right, my last item is also a Japanese item. I don't know if you know, so you had your theme. Your theme was Japanese baseball, MPB. Mine was all wood, right? It went two wood bats and then the wood drumstick. So this was a...
And the Donnie Bosco made me in state championship.
And that's, so that also ties in because all I was doing, taking teams to the woodshed during a postseason run. All right, so this bat right here, you can see right there, that's number 7, Mizuno. I love the Japanese bats, but this was a teammate of mine, a guy by the name of Naoyuki Omura. And this guy was one of my favorite guys that I played with. Not because he was, like, such a great guy. You know, he tested the foreigners a little bit. Like, you know, you got over there and people were feeling each other out. But he was definitely a guy who would test you a little bit. And you almost felt like he didn't like foreigners, but more just wanted to see how you were going to react. And I've had teammates like that in the States as well. But I really liked this guy. But what was so funny about him is that there was not very much that was Japanese about him. You know how these guys, when you go over there, very regimented, work really hard, don't talk back, question the manager, none of that stuff, right? This guy did all of those things and rarely hustled, which was one of my favorite things about him. And he played a long time, 17 years that he played in MPB. He was 5'8", weighed about 160 pounds. I mean,
tiny
for a corner outfielder. But he was a good player. He had about 280, 290 career batting average. But he was a funny, funny dude to me, even though I wasn't sure. He might not even like me at all. But he did let me take one of his bats. We would do these jogs. I don't know if you guys did these in spring training in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Be two wide, the entire roster deep, which is 70 guys. So you got about 35 deep on the line, right? Two-side tandem. And you'd go all the way around, two laps around. You'd do it in front of the fans. Fans would come watch spring training. There'd be 15,000 people there watching us do our morning workouts. And they would be doing these chants, and the captain would be leading and all this stuff. And this guy would be in the back of the line with the foreigners. The foreigners are in the back because they're messing everything up. And he'd be complaining. He'd be jogging. And while everyone's kind of running, he'd be off, like, off-centered on the line. I mean, I loved everything about him, that he just wasn't going to conform to Japanese baseball the way that everybody else did. So because of that, these are the kind of bats that I collect. I probably have 40 or so, but of, like, memorable teammates for strange reasons. Not because he was a good player. It had nothing to do with the fact that he was a good player. And I really like this bat. I actually, when I'm working out in the basement, which is, you know, twice a day, I've done 2 days usually at this point in my life. But when I am, I have an unfinished basement and there's a net down there. And I'll hit off the tee in between, like in between sets when I'm taking my rest. And I'll use this bat a lot. Really thin handle, pretty decent weight. I guess it has good balance. I have no idea. I think when you do this, it makes it go better. I don't know what happens there. But I love it. I love it. And I hit with it. And because it was already a dirty bat. But that dude cracked me up. Little dude, smoker, super funny, and I really feel like he hated Japanese baseball, which was even better.
Kaz Ishihi was the same guy for me on the Cebu Lions, and Ishihi, I'll tell you a quick cigarette smoking story with Japanese ball players. So I'm going to show you a bat in a second, but let me finish the story. I played hooky one day from college at UCSB. That's why it took
only
me
one?
So long to get me so long to get that diploma. It only took me 21 years. But went and saw this game where Ishihi was pitching for the Dodgers in a day game. And I'm sitting up in these nosebleed seats way up in Dodger Stadium. And he throws a pitch, hits him in the head. And this is when, you know, the Dodger Stadium club seats that down at the club level that pay a lot of money for, those weren't there. So you remember, like, the backstop to Dodger Stadium used to be, like, way far back. This line drive hits Kaz and almost hits the backstop behind over the catcher's head. Awful. Awful. Ambulance comes out of center field. They go and they put him on the neck, on the stretcher. They tie his neck, and he goes and he goes off. Well, Ishihi is my teammate in Japan, and he's a chain smoker. He's like he smokes 1,000 darts a day. And so I tell my translator, I was like, I was at a game where this guy, like, I think he died.
Yeah.
And he starts smiling because he knows what I'm talking about. He understands English pretty well. So here comes the translator. I tell the story. And then so Kaz starts telling the story to the translator to return back to me. His story is once he gets in the ambulance, the very first question he asked the medical staff with his interpreter next to him, cigarette, okay?
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. The smoking bus, the non-smoking bus, why that was such an important part of the baseball culture. Guys sitting in the video room, like, you know, just off the dugout, just going through cigarettes like crazy. It amazed me, man. It absolutely amazed me to watch that happen.
All right, so since you were showing me your O'Hara-san's bat, here's the Spilly-san bat. And, you know, what was interesting about that, and you can see Spilly. This is my name in kanji with the number 19, NPB, SSK model. I'm a Louisville Slugger. In Japan, I was trying these SSK models because
There you go. How's that sound? That good?
Not good.
Oh,
sure? On the bottom, you can see it says L for the Lions, 19, Juku, my number. The A is for Japanese Ash, which is really nice. And this bat, super sweet. So I love this stuff.
But, no, but really will you ever hit with that? Would you, like, because it looks nice, because it's decorative, because it has your name on it, you're not going to let anybody be like, what if your son's like, Dad, I want to use your bat in a high school game?
At this point, I mean, come on.
Sorry, tell him. Sorry. Sorry about it.
Sorry, son. You can swing a smaller bat. Here, the last thing about this, and I'm sure you dealt with it too, I had my name legally changed in Japan to say Spilly. So whenever I came up to the plate, I was Ryan Spilly. I was not Spillboy.
Really?
Just because it was really difficult for the announcer to pronounce.
Well, they had no chance on Nikowski. It was just Nikowski. Same thing
so
in
you
Korea.
Were Nikowski.
Yeah, they weren't going to say Nikowski. That's why I don't mind. You know, we work really hard as broadcasters to get guys' names right as much as possible. Sometimes you talk to them, you know, hey, do you want it Americanized? Do you want it how it would sound in your home country? You want to do everybody justice the best that you can. But not being the smartest guy in the world, sometimes there's a struggle there and a couple of stumbles along the way. But I never minded when I was playing in different countries and the three different ones that I got to play in between the Dominican, Korea, and Japan, that they said your name differently because it was easier for them. No problem. No problem at all.
Yeah. All right. So that'll do it for this week for One Man's Trash. I think what CJ and I are hoping, send us some tweets throughout the week at SpillyGoat19, at CJ Nikowski. We're going to reach out to some of our broadcast brethren, some former teammates of ours to join us on one of these and go through some of the memorabilia. We have so many stories we can tell. We're just starting. This is just like the first upper layer of my Cebu Lions stuff. I still have Texas Rangers things to get through, Cleveland Indian stuff to get through, and then years worth of Colorado Rockies stuff left to get through.
You see a throwback there. That's a Doosan Bears throwback hat up there. See the D next to the St. John's hat? How am I doing here? Not bad. Toros.
That's actually pretty
Rangers.
Good, yeah.
Not bad, buddy.
And I think at one point we should do a show on balls. A
lot of balls. So you see them all up there. That's going to be part of it. And some are signed, some are strange. But I definitely want you to, you know, think about these balls a little bit. And we'll do a show where I'll let you pick out some of the balls and we'll talk about them. The little ones, not the big ones over there. Not the big balls.
I don't know.
Just the little ones up there. Yeah, you can't take those. You're not a big ball guy. You're a little ball guy.
Okay. All right. Till next time. Thanks for paying attention.